So I think I'm on. Okay. I was. Should I move the mic down or no?
No, you're good.
I was told.
You don't adjust, I do.
Okay. I'm hearing echoes.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Tell that to my wife. Poor Mary, poor Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. Last month, since retiring, I think maybe a year or two into retirement, I started a practice of reading through God's Word, the Bible, every year. It's a big book, and I don't spend a whole lot of time on each chapter as I go through. Sometimes if I read something and it interests me as I'm carrying on my reading, I'll do some more study in different areas. The last 2 months, we're just into March now, and I start in Genesis, and I go to Matthew, then I go to Exodus, then I go to Mark, then I go to Leviticus, and now I'm just, today I'll finish up Luke. Last month, when I was reading in Exodus, I was struck by the period of time in Moses' life and the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and we remember how in Joseph's time. Jacob and Joseph's brothers were in the land of Canaan, and Joseph was in Egypt, and he had been in Egypt for some period of time, and he was a blessing to many that he was associated with Potiphar, and also when he was in prison, he was kind of an officer in the prison. He was still a prisoner, and he was a blessing to some of the individuals. Remember the baker and the butler and so forth. But there was a a famine occurred in the land, Egypt and the land of Canaan, and I don't know if it was worldwide or whatever, but there was a famine, and the Lord had let Joseph know what was going on, and Joseph was able to tell Pharaoh that there was going to be some good years coming up, and then that was going to be followed by some famine, and there was during the famine the children or Jacob Israel in the land of Canaan and his family needed food. So Jacob sent them to Egypt to buy grain, and they went there, and you kind of know the story, and Joseph made himself known, and Pharaoh told Joseph to, you know, bring his family down to Egypt, and they were situated in, you know, a fine area of Egypt where they took care of their livestock, and things seemed to go pretty well for a period of time, and the Lord blessed them. But in time, Joseph died, and many generations passed, and the children of Israel were placed in bondage. They didn't just have jobs. They were they had the difficult job of you know, being under taskmasters, and it wasn't a good situation. And we know that in this period of time Moses was born, and it was during a period of time that the Pharaoh was concerned about the number of the children of Israel and their strength and might, and he felt threatened, and you know, he put out orders to have all the male children killed. And so it was a difficult time, and you know, you can read the details about Moses' life, how he was saved and raised in Pharaoh's household, and how he escaped and went into another land for some 40 years until he was told by God to go back to Egypt. And he did, because the Lord heard the cry of the children of Israel. And where I'm going to kind of take up is in the Passover. The Lord had heard the cry of the children of Israel, and through Moses and Aaron, the Lord was setting in motion the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh wasn't necessarily, the Pharaoh who was in power at that time wasn't necessarily enthusiastic about letting, you know, these hundreds of thousands of working men, letting them off scot-free. And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh time and again, and to try to have Pharaoh released the children of Israel. There were a series of plagues that the Lord sent on Egypt. I think it started with the water in Egypt was turned to blood. There was also another one, frogs. There was flies. There were gnats. There were boils. There were locusts. There was a lot of plagues, and the last plague that the Lord sent on the land was the death of the firstborn. And I'm going to read through a portion of the 12th chapter of Exodus, and we'll kind of go with some thoughts that I had about the Passover, and also how the Passover, at least in my spoke in my mind about other scriptures, kind of a foretelling of the Lamb of God. So we'll be reading in Exodus chapter 12. I'll start reading at the first verse. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its heads with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And we can kind of take note here at this point where the Lord is instructing the children of Israel when they're having this Passover feast that they're ready to travel. They've got their belt on, they've got their sandals on their feet, they've got their staff in their hand, and they should eat it in haste. Going on to verse 11. "For I will pass through the land," excuse me, it's verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your house, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on that same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your house, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings, you shall eat unleavened bread. And going on, verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves, according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike it on the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the house and strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. It shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover. It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. In verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And we know if we read further that things took place pretty quickly after this. Pharaoh awoke, as we read, and he came to, or he summoned Moses and Aaron, and he instructed them to get out of the land of Egypt. Go and worship your God. You know, take your livestock, get out of Egypt, and they did so. And we know, if we read further too, that children of Israel journeyed to the land of Canaan, but it wasn't a direct, short trip. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And the Lord was teaching them through that period of time. But I thought it was interesting, too, in this section that we read, that the children of Israel were called to observe this Passover feast. And it should be, it was an ordinance for the children of Israel and their sons and their children, that it said that that they would keep this service. And it said, goes on and say, verse 26, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? And you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel when he struck the Egyptians and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I was struck by this. This was something that the Lord had instructed Moses and told Moses, this is a feast that the children of Israel should continue to remind them. And that You know, they should teach the children. When the children ask the question, why are we doing this? You tell them. And I thought, too, how now in the day that we live today, we're to do similar, not to celebrate the Passover, but we're to follow God's word and the leading of the Spirit in our own lives, in our own Christian path, and we're to teach our children. And this is a good example of that we can apply this to our time today, that we should teach the children. I thought it was interesting thinking back. The Passover was celebrated in the land of Canaan and in Israel for many years, and I'm going to read a portion, a verse in Luke about the Passover. It happened to be a verse that I read yesterday morning in Luke chapter 22 and verse 15, and this is when the Lord Jesus was celebrating the Passover feast. As we were talking earlier this morning, the Lord was celebrating the Passover with his apostles. This was the last time that he celebrated the Passover with his apostles. So this is, the tradition that was instituted by Moses, and we can see it carried on thousands of years to the Lord's time. And here in the 15th verse, it said, the 14th verse of chapter 22 of Luke, when the hour had come, he, the Lord Jesus, sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And the Lord Jesus said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I thought it was interesting as I read this, we don't see too often the Lord speaking or doing things with emotion. There is times. We can read how the Lord, around this time, he went to Jerusalem and to the temple, and he kind of overturned the tables and was pretty upset with what was going on there. But we can also see in this 15th verse that there's some emotion with the Lord Jesus as he's celebrating the Passover with the apostles. The Lord said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I mean, this was important, and no doubt the Lord, it was apparent, and we can see the Passover sacrifice, the Passover feast in the time of Moses, a type of Christ represented lamb without blemish that was sacrificed there in the first Passover. And here many years later, this Passover, as the Lord was sharing the Passover with his apostles, he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord was very aware of what was before him, and he was impacted him with his apostles, with the apostles, knowing that he was, he said to them before he suffers, before he goes to the cross of Calvary, before he dies on the cross of Calvary, before, during those 3 hours of darkness, when he endures the punishment of God for sin, the sins of the apostles, the sins of you and I. Again, the Lord said with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Was interesting. I thought it was also interesting, an interesting passage in Genesis. Genesis chapter chapter 22. Chapter 22, Genesis 22, verse 5. And Abraham, this is during the time of Abraham and his young son Isaac. And they were going to worship. And Abraham had gotten some instructions from the Lord to go and offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. And so in verse 5 it said, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham in verse 6 took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went. The two went together. And in verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, Father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. After reading about the Passover, and the Passover was instituted, and hearing how that carried on for hundreds, thousands of years, was reminded of this time before the Passover with Abraham and Isaac, and was struck by as Abraham was going with Isaac to go in and sacrifice Isaac, that they had made the preparation, they were going, and Isaac spoke to his father and said, my father, he said, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That would have been a difficult thing for Abraham to hear, knowing that the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And if we read further in this account, we know that Isaac was bound, and Abraham had the knife in his hand, and he raised the knife to slay Isaac as the Lord had commanded him, and God stopped him. And God had provided the lamb. There was a ram that was caught by its horns in a thicket. And so Abraham went and brought the lamb, the ram, and released Isaac and sacrificed the ram. But I was struck by this passage, and I was struck particularly by the prophetic words of Abraham here. My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And God did provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And that lamb for the burnt offering was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I was struck too with by some other scripture in Isaiah 53, and I'll just read briefly. I love this chapter, and in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says he was wounded for our transgressions. And as we've looked at the Passover sacrifice in Egypt, and as we recall the account of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice there in the wilderness, the sacrifice where they were, it was a lamb. But here in this prophetic account of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, it seems to shift from the sacrifice of a lamb to the sacrifice of the sin-bearing Messiah, of the Christ. In verse 5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And it's interesting in this passage that we're talking about the deity of God, not just God the Father, but God the Son. There's two. The Lord, God the Father, has laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. And that was interesting to realize that. And also I enjoy the 10th verse of this chapter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Again, we can see the two parts. We can see the Lord, God the Father, and we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And it goes on. And I thought it was interesting there was, it's noted in here in verses 10 and 11, near the end of the 10th verse, it says, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand. He shall see his seed. This is something that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was sacrificed, he could see his seed. He could see what he was doing on the cross of Calvary, was dying for our sins, and he could see that. He knew that, and he could see you and I in that. And also in verse 11, it says, by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge. And I thought it was interesting to see that there was a vision there. It was prophesied by Isaiah that there would be vision of the Christ, there would be a vision as he was suffering of what he was suffering for, and that he could even cry out at the cross, it is finished, that cry of victory. There was a few other verses that I enjoyed from the New Testament, and I'll just go through those quickly. First, In John's Gospel, the Apostle John recounts John the Baptist in chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John was the forerunner. He was to announce the Lamb of God, and he did so here in the first chapter of John's Gospel. And it's neat to see that the Lord Jesus is identified as the Lamb of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing in verse 18, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." But again, Peter tells us that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In Hebrews chapter 1, Paul the Apostle speaks to us. Hebrews 1, verse 1 starts out, "God," and then dropping down to verse 2, "God, who has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And again, in chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." What it's neat to see these ones in the New Testament, John and Peter and Paul talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they saw or had a personal relationship with. And I say Paul because he had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to the Lord as the Lamb of God. And scan through a couple verses in Revelation chapter 5. We see in verse 5, it says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David." This is, again, the Apostle John writing late in his life. "The root of David has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." And in verse 6, "In the midst of the throne and of the living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain." In verse 7, "Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." And in verse 8, they sang, or verse 9, they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." In verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And in verse 13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." And it's It's a fitting conclusion as we look at the initial Passover feast and the lamb that was sacrificed, and looking back to Abraham and Isaac, and how Abraham told Isaac, God will provide for himself a lamb. And also reading about in the New Testament, both John and Peter and Paul referring to the Lord Jesus and our salvation available through the Lord Jesus, through the Lamb of God. And in a latter day, in Revelation, how the Lord is in glory now, and he's recognized as the Lamb, the Lamb of God, in that he has been slain, and he has been raised from the dead, and he's recognized worthy as the Lamb, and he's receiving blessing and honor and glory and power there on the throne of God. What a Savior we have! What we have to look forward to in a soon coming day, when we're going to hear a shout. We are going to hear a shout, and we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord forever. What a blessing it is today that we have that in our heart, and what a blessing it will be to experiencing that. And talking to Phil earlier, we don't know what it's going to be like in glory, but it's going to be better than anything we can imagine. It's just an incredible. God, Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, as we've had before us reviewing the Passover, the original Passover sacrifice, and the lamb, and then realizing that these sacrifices in the Old Testament times were just a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he had before him as his destiny here on earth since the beginning. And we thank you that, as we've been reminded already, that the crucifixion, the sacrifice there on Golgotha is over, it's finished, the work has been accomplished, the Lord Jesus died there on the cross, he was buried, but that he rose again. And that he's in glory now, on the right hand of the throne of God, and recognized as the Savior of sinners. And we thank you for that. And we just would ask your blessings on our time in your word today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.